Good afternoon. It's 12:06 and time for a very special fun drive edition of Health 360 here on WBOY 89.1 FM. We'd love to hear from you throughout today's show with your question, comments, as well as your pledge of support to WBOY and Midday Matters, hoping to raise $600 this hour of the program. And we do have a match in play for this hour of Midday Matters, hoping to hear from six folks. So if you'd like to be one of six to help us get to that goal of $600, 1-800-471-9264, or you can pledge online at nipr.fm. And support for Midday Matters on WBOY is provided by PHP, offering a variety of health benefits and services for individuals, families, businesses in Northern Indiana, including medical, dental, high deductible, administrative services, and more at phpni.com. Support is also provided by you, thank you, our listeners, and Cameron Memorial Community Hospital, providing health and wellness services in the spirit of charity, concern, and excellence, serving Steuben County and surrounding areas. Information at CameronMCH.com. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and in the studio with me this afternoon is my co-host, Dr. Peter Rothman. And Dr. Peter, before we get too far into the program, I wanted to start off and ask you, why is WBOY and NIPR important to your everyday life?
Northeast Indiana Public Radio has been a major part of my life since I moved here 37 years ago. First of all, I love learning, and every day, every show, you learn something. And topics you may not even have thought you were interested in suddenly become fascinating and interesting, and they're great shows. How can you not learn from Diane Reeve, Terry Gross, Neil Conan, Robert Siegel, and Ira Flatow? And these really make a world of a difference. The other thing is, coming from the East Coast, I moved here from New York and Boston. The East Coasters aren't quite sure what's going on in the Midwest, and of course we have an extremely culturally aware, vital scene here in Fort Wayne. But this station keeps me in touch with the world. If I want to know what's going on in Africa with Ophelia Quis-Arkin, or in the Mediterranean with Sylvia Poggioli, BBC World News in the morning, and if you're up at 1:30 in the morning, you can have BBC Africa tell you what's happening there. You are in constant touch with the world. You never feel isolated. And we have a vibrant town, but our vibrant culture community is also connected to the world NPR.
Very well said. So if you are as passionate and value the program as much as Peter does, 1-800-471-9264 is a way to pledge your support right now. Remember, we do have a match for this hour. You can always go online to nipr.fm. Let's get on to today's show, Peter.
Today we will be discussing new trends in acne therapy with Dr. Ned Sarkissian of Fort Wayne Dermatology Consultants. Welcome, Dr. Sarkissian.
Thank you.
Acne is a common skin disease affecting 80% of people at some point in their lives. Although mainly teenagers, it can persist or begin in one's 30s, 40s, or even 50s. 650 million people globally have acne, including 40 to 50 million Americans, striking all ethnic groups. Chronic acne can also affect one's quality of life, with a significant psychological impact causing poor self-image, increased anxiety, and depression. Dr. Sarkissian will be telling us more about the trends, the tried-and-true therapies used through the years, and newer, safer approaches that hopefully will bring lasting relief to our acne sufferers. Dr. Sarkissian, what is the physiology of acne? What is actually happening at the skin level?
Well, there appear to be four main influences on the skin that contribute to acne. The prime setup seems to be hormones. In other words, around puberty, when hormone levels start to rise, is typically the onset of acne. And if an individual does not go through puberty, they won't ever get acne. Let's say a eunuch never gets acne. But under hormonal influence, it appears that three other things seem to happen. One is the skin does not keratinize or shed normally. So you, at the microscopic level, get a small plug, which to the eye looks like a blackhead. So there's a mechanical component. There also appears to be a bacterial component in that around puberty, a species called Propionibacterium will inhabit the skin that isn't there before puberty. And we can talk further as to how that contributes to acne. The third component is inflammation, which largely is generated from the action of the bacteria. So in short, the hormones set you up for the other three factors to kick in.
And so we see this affecting teenagers. And then there's been some issues of more acne in older people. And where does menopause fit into this?
That's a good question. It's highly variable, I guess I would say. You'll see women never have acne, appear in their 30s with acne, and we really don't know what that means because their hormonal levels are relatively stable during that time. And then women after menopause sometimes will continue to have acne or develop onset of acne. It's really unclear why that may be, other than the lack of their estrogen, progesterone may allow some of the male-type hormones to rise. But why it does in some women and not in others is unclear.
The actual causes of acne, you know, through the years, people have talked about stress or sweets. There may be some truth to this, correct?
Yes. There is evidence that both in some individuals will contribute to acne. Unfortunately, the studies are mixed, so it's hard to make a blanket recommendation and tell people do or don't eat this or that, where a given individual may know very clearly that this particular food will set them off. And stress, again, out of a class of students, you may see three worse at final time and the rest aren't. We just don't know why that is.
But you feel it may be through the adrenal stress hormone system?
Yes, yes, that would make sense.
And the question has been raised about high glycemic load. Excess sugar intake may contribute. And chocolate per se, Coke per se, has been shot down, but it may be the sugar there. And what about time of the month? And many women will have, again, with hormonal changes?
Yes. And again, it's unclear why that is. You'll have women who very clearly will tell you they know when their acne will be bad and when it won't, whereas others really are independent of their cycle.
I want to remind our listeners that this is Health 360 Midday Matters on WBLY, and it's during our fund drive where we're asking you to be the public in public radio and pledge for local programs as well as the national programs that you listen to every day by calling us at 1-800-471-9264 or by going online at nipr.fm. We have a goal this hour of $600, and we need to hear from six people. Will you be one of those to help us get to that goal? We haven't heard from anybody so far yet in the hour, so we do need you to get on the phone and give us a call at 1-800-471-9264 or nipr.fm. I had a question, Dr. Sarkissian. It's April, I learned, is National Stress Awareness Month, and Peter just touched on the stress factor. If you're somebody who knows that stress causes acne or a breakout, what are some things that you can do in advance to make sure that you know you have an exam coming up or you have a stressful meeting? Is there anything you can do to kind of prep your body and trick it into not breaking out?
Oh, that's a good question. There certainly are stress reduction techniques of different forms, biofeedback, relaxation, yoga, etc. I'm just not aware that there's any good studies saying, hey, if you do this, your acne will be reduced if you are stress-driven. So it would be logical to try, but I just don't know if it would be effective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So maybe an overall lifestyle change of trying to incorporate that relaxation into your everyday?
Probably good on many levels, yes.
Now, the drugs that we have used through many years of acne therapy, why don't you start out with what the original medications were and how it's progressed through the years?
Okay. In the beginning, our choices were fairly limited. In the pill world, we had the tetracycline antibiotics, which were pretty effective, relatively inexpensive, not too many side effects. That was the mainstay for many years. More recently, there are some newer forms of those drugs in terms of being time-released, better tolerated, but the same chemicals largely. So the antibiotic world, frankly, hasn't changed much in terms of active ingredients for probably 30 years. Other pills, you can sometimes get at the hormonal side of acne in women with birth control of several forms. There's also a drug called spironolactone, which is not estrogen but blocks testosterone binding. also an old drug. The third category of pills is the retinoids, which Accutane or isotretinoin is the classic drug there since 82. Very effective, has some risk-benefit issues, but those would probably be the three categories of pills we have.
And we started out pill-wise with both oral antibiotics and topical antibiotics. And then through the years, we've had development of resistance.
Yes, that's true. The original acne topical agent was erythromycin, which currently is not used very often due to the development of resistance. Benzoyl peroxide has been used for many years. The good news there is it does not tend to cause resistance. So often we'll pair that with a topical antibiotic to kill the bacteria so they can't carry on the resistant gene.
And it's over-the-counter and obviously cost-effective.
Yes.
And you continue to use that in your combination therapies to this day. Stuck around. Then we got into the retin-A and the tretinoins. What do these are derivatives of vitamin A?
Yes. Early on, it was noted that vitamin A orally in high doses could help acne through its effect on keratinization, which is the way the skin is shed. So logically, the pioneers in acne started to try to use these topically. So by applying them to the skin, the products would penetrate and normalize the way the skin sheds is the effective side. The downside is they can be somewhat irritating. But over the years, tretinoin or retin-A was the prototype drug. Still used, very effective. Later came two other retinoids, adapalene and tazarotene. They have strengths and weaknesses, but are similar.
And they increase the turnover increase new production of cells and keep the keratinization moving so things don't get... What exactly happens when we have a dysfunction in keratinization? How does that actually cause acne?
Well, the thinking is normally your skin will shed, let's say, like dust. It matures from a plump, healthy cell to a dead piece of flake. And in the normal state, that just goes on. Every 45 days, you turn over a layer of skin. In the acne situation, for some reason, that skin sticks together. So you get a bunch of flakes stuck together. That's essentially a blackhead, which mechanically plugs the follicular opening from which the oil drains. But if you plug that entirely, it's like pinching off the garden hose. The oil will continue to be secreted. It'll eventually burst the follicular channel, and then that material can be chewed on by bacteria that in turn generates inflammation. So it's kind of a cascade that we think starts with the blackhead.
And that's where the retin-A, the tretinoins, the vitamin A derivatives seem to exert their effect.
Yes.
Is there, in the other aspect of increased oil production, what treatment will help with that aspect of it?
That's a tough one. In men, unfortunately, short of Accutane, there's really nothing that changes oil production. Women, however, have a few choices. Birth control, your traditional estrogen-type drug, will tend to reduce oil production. And alternative would be spironolactone will reduce oil production by blocking the influence of testosterone.
We need to take a quick break on Health 360, but in the meantime, if you have a question or comment or you'd like to pledge your support, we need to hear from you. We have a goal this hour of $600 and the phone lines have fallen silent. So 1-800-471-9264 to pledge your support right now during this hour of Midday Matters and support local programming. Or you can always go to our website, that's NIPR.FM, to pledge your support that way. It's 1220 and we'll be back in just a few moments here on Health 360.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear the questions you wish you could have asked to people like Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Did it help to hear what your voice sounded like on helium? Did you learn something about your voice you didn't know before?
Yeah, I learned that I don't really need the helium.
Because it's pretty easy to flick that switch and go right up there.
The most interesting people in show business on Fresh Air. This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation. Clear, straight, open from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
A century ago, Europe was stumbling toward World War. A historian says one reason was the mindset and gender of Europe's leaders.
There was something special about the kind of masculinity of these male statesmen. I think masculinity was particularly brittle and uncompromising.
The Sleepwalkers, today on All Things Considered from NPR News. All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
What does it take for an ordinary person to become violent?
That line between good and evil, which privileged people like to think is fixed and impermeable, with them on the good side and the others on the bad side, I knew that line was movable and it was permeable.
I'm Guy Raz. Join us next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Wednesday evening at 7 here on WBOI.
Welcome back to Health 360 here on WBOY 89.1 FM. It's 12:23 and we need to hear from you with your pledge of support right now at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm. This is our spring fund drive where we ask you to be the public in public radio and pledge your support for programs that you listen to and value every day of the week. 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm to be one of six people to help us get to that goal of $600. And we do have a match in place for this hour of Midday Matters, so your dollar goes a little bit further than it does normally. So 1-800-471-9264 is the number to call right now. We're talking about acne today, and we have a question from a listener. Is rosacea related to acne in any way? I developed acne at puberty, and I'm now 30 years old and still have mild acne, I assume due to oily skin. For the last months, I've had dry, red patchiness on my cheek that I cannot get rid of, no matter what I put on that. Dr. Sarkisian, probably we should start off by defining rosacea for people that don't know what that is exactly.
Okay. Acne rosacea, to diagnose it, you would need three criteria. You would need, one is lesions of acne, which is a common feature of acne vulgaris, or let's say teenage, if you will, acne, which would be a papule or a pustule. The two features rosacea, acne rosacea has that acne vulgaris does not. One is fluctuating redness, in other words, flushing, looking embarrassed at times, and sometimes that's persistent. The other feature would be telangiectasias, which are little dilated blood vessels, look like squiggly red lines. So if someone has all three, they have rosacea, whereas the latter two features are not seen in acne vulgaris.
Mm-hmm. So does it, and of course, we always suggest that if you have a question like this, you should go see a dermatologist or a doctor in person. But does it sound like, from what she's describing, that this is something that's like rosacea, or is it perhaps adult acne?
It's an excellent question. I hate to say it, but it's hard to say. If it's one cheek, it's less likely to be rosacea, which usually is bilateral, but it's just hard to say. But the key diagnostic feature would be redness and broken blood vessels. If those are absent, it's not rosacea.
Okay, good to know. 1-800-471-9264 to call in with your question or comment. We're talking about acne today, and that's also the way to pledge your support to WBOI.
Is rosacea a follow-up of teenage acne, or can it occur unto itself without a history of previous acne?
It's independent. So they're you may get it after having had acne or without previous acne.
Yeah. Getting back to our treatments, we've all known people who have been on Accutane, which has remarkable effects. 80% of people improve on it, but there are a lot of risk factors with it. Could you tell us more about the serious aspect of the use of Accutane and how it's used and for how long?
Okay. Accutane is typically used for cystic acne, meaning large inflammatory lesions, usually at least the size of a pea or more. Often we'll use it in patients who don't respond to other therapy. Our concern is, if we can't stop the acne, it may progress to scarring if it's inflammatory. So Accutane is very effective. It will clear most people, and 40% of those who take it will not have it again. But unfortunately, there are some concerns with the drug. First is it is a teratogen, meaning it can cause fetal malformations if a woman becomes pregnant while taking it. So the government has put a program into place called iPledge, which is very thorough. If followed correctly, it really should reduce the chance of pregnancy in a woman taking the drug. Two other controversies with the drug, statistically difficult to sort out, but there are reports of depression and inflammatory bowel disease on Accutane, but hard to know if those are related to the drug or coincidental.
What about the effects on liver enzymes and blood lipids?
Right. The drug can do liver damage, but typically mild. We do check blood tests typically monthly on the drug. If anything rises, it is reversible, so we would reduce the dose or stop the drug. Triglycerides are similar. The levels may rise, but it is reversible, dose-related. And if necessary, we can add a cholesterol-lowering agent to allow you to keep the Accutane.
So while most people will respond to the first treatment, it's not uncommon that to have relapses, and what 25-30% may have a relapse, and doing several courses?
Right. The one large study indicated that 40% clear forever, but the other 60% it recurs. Of those 60, or of the original 100, 15 will take Accutane at least another time, some even three times, but that's a small group. So if the acne recurs after Accutane, it is usually less severe.
And it does seem to, and if it works, it usually lasts thereafter forevermore.
40% is forever. The others, it's usually at least a couple years.
Fantastic. And the use of combination therapy, you will use a topical therapy usually as well as an oral therapy. And what about hygiene? What do you recommend for our teenagers in terms of skin hygiene as well?
Right. Hygiene is necessary, but excess is not helpful. In other words, many parents will tell their children, if you'd wash more, you wouldn't have acne. Not really true. You want to have a certain baseline, let's say, probably before school, after school, bedtime, and with sports, maybe extra. But let's say 10 times a day washing does not do better than 5 times a day. Also, the choice of cleansing agent, frankly, isn't all that helpful. Your main goal is to remove oil and or makeup, but not irritate the skin. So let's say anything gritty or antibacterial really isn't necessary. It's not wrong, but it isn't necessary. In terms of combination, generally, if the patients have inflammatory or red acne, we'll usually use an antibiotic. If they have more comedonal or blackhead-type acne, we'll usually add a topical. Long-term goal is to get rid of the pills, try to maintain topically if we can.
We need to take a quick break for the news, but I had one question before we take that break. Is there any correlation between family history and acne? If you're somebody that has a mom or a mom or a dad that, you know, they broke out horribly when they were a teenager, are you then doomed to have acne problems as well?
It's a tough question because 85% of people will have acne, but I do think you're right. In that severe acne, if someone comes in with scarring, a parent with scarring, we will tend to treat the child more aggressively because I think there is a correlation, although there are no official studies to prove that.
1-800-471-9264 are the ways to pledge your support right now to WBOI and Midday Matters. You can always go online to nipr.fm. No interruptions. You can keep listening to the program and pledge that way. We have not heard from anyone so far in this hour, but we have a match in play. And if you pledge right now, your dollar will go just a little bit further than normal. 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm. We'll be back in just a few moments after this break for the news.
A century ago, Europe was stumbling toward World War. A historian says one reason was the mindset and gender of Europe's leaders.
There was something special about the kind of masculinity of these male statesmen. I think masculinity was particularly brittle and uncompromising.
The Sleepwalkers, today on All Things Considered from NPR News. All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon, I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. A group of Fort Wayne ethnic, political, and religious leaders is working on a proposal to form a sister relationship with Burmese City. The New Sentinel reports Fort Wayne's Sister Cities International has teamed with the Burmese Advocacy Center to discuss the possibilities. Fort Wayne already has relationships with cities in Japan, Poland, Germany, and China. Myanmar is a logical choice for another partnership because Fort Wayne is home to nearly 4,000 Burmese refugees. House Democrats say they're worried legislation requiring school resource officers to be responsible for securing a school, in addition to working with students, asks them to do too much. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has more.
A school resource officer is a trained law enforcement official who receives extra training to work in a school environment. Supporters say officers are intended to be more than a cop in a school. They're expected to help educate and counsel students, becoming part of the fabric of the school. Proposed legislation provides up to $10 million in matching grants Indiana schools can use to hire a resource officer. But the bill would also now require the officers to be responsible for protecting the school against outside threats and preventing unauthorized access to the school. Hammond Democratic Representative Linda Lawson says that's too many responsibilities for one person.
This has to be a very special person. The person who works with kids who are troubled and belligerent need a lot of attention, much more than a bully with a gun.
Avon Republican Senator Pete Miller, the bill's author, says in the wake of the Connecticut school shooting, more needs to be done to secure schools. But he says that doesn't mean school resource officers' core responsibilities will change.
Once they've accomplished that task of making sure the buildings are secure, they're interacting with student body and doing all those things. Just because we don't put that in the bill or the law doesn't mean that's something they won't do.
Miller says a few minor changes will likely be made to the bill, but he expects it to pass. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And some top Indiana lawmakers seem prepared to accept anticipated big drops in business at the state's casinos and to not provide much help as the gambling venues face growing competition from neighboring states. Indiana's budget planners are anticipating a 20% drop in casino revenues in the coming years, even as they consider hundreds of millions of dollars in tax cuts. Legislative negotiators are working to reach a compromise this week on tax changes for the casinos, along with the question of whether live table games should be allowed at two horse track casinos near Indianapolis. Republican House Speaker Brian Bosma says he will not support what he calls an expansion of gambling just to keep tax revenues up. You're listening to Midday Matters here on WBOY, and if you support this local program, give us a call and pledge your support, 800-471-9264, or pledge online at nipr.fm.
That's right. As Sean just said, 1-800-471-9264 or going to our website, nipr.fm, is the way to pledge your support for Midday Matters on WBOY. Thank you very much if you've already pledged during our fund drive. We do this because we need the funds to help keep bringing you the programs that you listen to and love every day. So this is our least expensive way to come to you and ask you to help pitch in and pay for some of the programs that you value. 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm is the way to be one of four people that we now need to pledge your support during this hour. We've heard from a couple of folks. James Connell, we'd like to thank you very much for pledging your support. James said that he wanted to pledge today to support local programs. So if you value the local programming that we do, like Midday Matters on WBOY, and you would like to join James, we would love to have you at 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm. Just four more people in the last 25 minutes of today's program will really make all the difference and keep us on track for our spring fund drive. That number one more time, 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm.
So we have covered that the tried and true therapies still remain quite effective. The topical benzoyl peroxide, the retin A, the oral antibiotics. But we're now getting into another world of laser therapy and phototherapy. How often do you use lasers in your practice and for what aspects of the acne condition?
Well, lasers tend to help inflammatory acne, in other words, the red lesions more than they don't really help the blackheads much. We think the targets of the CO2 laser are, one is the oil gland. It appears to reduce production and activity. Two, it does seem to directly kill bacteria, which can be helpful, but how long that effect lasts is the drawback to the laser. In other words, the effects do wear off over time.
And there's been a lot of talk lately of phototherapy. I remember years and years ago, kids used to come in with their faces all sunburned and claiming that this occurred at the dermatologist's office and this was therapy. I think pure sun tanning and UV radiation, this is not helpful, right? UV type sun tanning, does that make a difference with acne?
The studies say no, and I would tend to believe that. There are individuals, however, who will swear up and down their acne gets better when they're in the sun. Personally, I think it gets better in summer since they're out of school, less stress, mm-hmm. but hard to say.
But the newer light therapies are using visible light, not the ultraviolet light, and the visible light in the blue, purple, and red spectrums. And one of the reasonings I hear is that because the P. acnes bacteria is becoming resistant to antibiotics, these approaches may prevent that. Have you had an experience with it, and do you see this as a future approach using visible light spectrums with a compound called alpha-levulinic acid? What is your take on that?
I think it has potential as a technology because you're right. Bacterial resistance is increasing, especially to doxycycline now that we've kind of used up erythromycin. So I think from a theoretical point of view, it is attractive. My hesitation is that it's not clear that propionibacterium is the entire part of the acne. In other words, I suspect there's a subset of patients in whom it's important and they'll be helped. I suspect there will be others who will be resistant, almost as we see with the CO2 laser. So we don't currently use the technology in our office. We are looking at it. Another issue is reimbursement. Insurance companies generally don't pay for that technology at this time. So for patients, it can run $1,000 for a course of treatment, which is difficult.
Well, we had one listener write in that wanted to know, is there an over-the-counter daily scrub that you recommend to folks when they come in and they are complaining about, you know, mild breakouts, not something that they need Accutane for, but or are there specific ingredients that you tell folks to look for or to avoid when they're, you know, just at the grocery store and trying to pick up a face wash?
Right. There are some useful over-the-counter products. Let's say if you have mild non-inflammatory acne, the two ingredients you would look for, one is salicylic acid, about 2%. There are many formulations of that product. Also, benzoyl peroxide comes in a 5% and a 10% formulation, either as a gel, which stays on the skin, or a wash, which is used like a soap. The 10% benzoyl peroxide sounds attractive, higher number, better results, but it's actually about the same results as the 5% with more irritation. So I would buy the 5% if I were going to use that product. But both can be helpful for mild acne.
We have just about 20 minutes left in today's program. And if you are listening and value this program, we need to hear from you to be one of four people to help us make that goal of $600. We're slowly inching our way there. And we appreciate everyone who has donated so far in this hour. Thank you very much. But we do need to hear from four more people. 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm. If you've ever gotten an idea from Midday Matters, like a program like Health 360, maybe we've given you an idea for a new doctor to go see, or we've given you a different perspective on a health issue. If you value that, we need to hear from you right now at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm to pledge your support right now.
Getting back to our the phototherapy, I think the thing that's fascinating is, one, Dr. Sarkissian pointed out that not all acne is infectious in orient. And we always think of pustular zits and killing bacteria, but as he said, not all acne is actually bacterially caused. But the new phototherapy ideas are kind of curious because they'll use a chemical called alpha-levulinic acid, which kind of increases the porphyrins, chemicals inside the bacterial cells, and then when they put the blue-red light on it, those porphyrins will cause free radicals, which will then kill the cells. So this is a whole new approach of killing bacteria without antibiotics. So for those people, I think, as you pointed out, who have the bacteria is playing a role, it will be something in the future, and costs hopefully will come down and reimbursement will go up. What about the psychological aspects of acne? This is a major problem.
It is. The depression is commonly seen in patients with acne. In our office, we tend to see the men minimize their willingness to admit that, but I think it's a factor, women as well. So to me, it's rewarding to treat patients who will come in with acne, won't make eye contact, speak very little, and as you treat them, that will tend to improve. So it's rewarding in that sense.
And teenagers tend to be, as Dr. Sarkissian pointed out, more vulnerable in terms of self-image issues. And we've all remembered days where we didn't care to go to school because of our acne, that acne flare-up. So this is a vulnerable population, correct?
Yes, I would say so.
And there were some mentions in the literature that acne sometimes can be related to obesity, which is, again, another self-image issue. Is there any truth to this?
That's a tough one. Let's say, at least in theory, patients who are heavier will have some peripheral conversion of different hormones to testosterone. So that in effect, they can become, you can see some of those effects with extra facial hair and acne. So it would, it is conceivable, but certainly not all patients who are overweight will have acne. It appears to be a subset.
The hormonal question is fascinating in that many of us don't realize that men and women have androgen, male hormone, and this apparently picks up in young girls as well as young boys with adolescence. This is the case, apparently, and that seemed to be the stimulating factor?
Yes, it's a very strong correlation with the onset of androgens and acne. And one thing we always look for in women with acne is this normal range, or do they have measurably excess testosterone or other hormones, in which case they often have thinning hair or extra facial hair. And if that's the case, identifying the defect and correcting it may fix their acne.
And there again, female hormone, and we've heard of birth control pills used on even in young ladies to prevent acne, true?
Yes. Several agents are helpful.
You've done that.
1-800-471-9264 is the way to call in with any questions and comments. We're talking about acne today. It's also the way to pledge your support to WBOI and Midday Matters during this hour. We need to hear from, about four more people to make our goal a reality this hour, and we've got 15 minutes to accomplish that. Important that we stay on these goals as we're halfway through our fun drive. There's no turning back at this point, so we need to stay on top and stay on top of these goals. 1-800-471-9264 is the way to pledge right now, as well as the way to ask any questions or comments. You can always go online to nipr.fm and pledge your support that way to WBOI during our spring fun drive.
There's been some recent research at UCLA and Pitt about harnessing viruses that actually infect the acne-causing bacterium. And the P. acnes bacteria, have you run into this? Is this again another developing possibility for the future?
I think the technology has promise. Again, propionibacterium certainly plays a role in acne, and any way you can destroy it, I think would at least be somewhat helpful for acne patients.
What in terms of all the things we've talked about, I would assume that the earlier that the young adolescent gets to you, the better. How young do you see patients? And we've heard of through the years, our children are starting puberty a little earlier than they used to. How young are you seeing children with acne now?
Boy, under 10 is not as rare as it used to be. 8, 9, 10, often women, for some reason, is becoming more common.
So it is happening. And yes. And so really and truly, it's been my perspective as a physician that if your child has significant acne that's affecting their own self-image, get to the dermatologist right away. Get this under control. Let them get a sense that they have some control of this too. And I know you have a large, your group has a large teenage population in your practice, correct?
Yes.
And this goes on to about when does acne start winding down?
Oh, boy. If you're a man, you're lucky. You're usually done with acne by your early 20s, whereas women, it is largely unpredictable. There's onset in their 20s. Pregnancy is a wild card. It is a pyramid in that you look at women by decade, the numbers get smaller, but there's quite a few still over 50 with acne.
We had a question come in from our Facebook page. Jennifer wanted to know, she was listening earlier on our conversation when we were talking a little bit about rosacea and knows that acne and rosacea are two different things, but are there any new treatments that you're aware of for rosacea and how are they treated differently?
I'm afraid rosacea, there's not much new. There's a lot of recycling of older products. Treatment largely falls into two groups. You have pills, which are usually your tetracycline antibiotics, and then topically, there's a variety of usually antibiotics. Metronidazole is one chemical commonly used in 4 or 5 formulations. Sulfur-based drugs are useful. There's a drug called Finacea, which is azelaic acid. So I'm afraid not much new, but different forms of several products.
Does rosacea have the fact that we're using antibiotics with rosacea again? Does the P. acnes bacteria, or are there different bacteria that play a role with rosacea?
That's a huge controversy. There are those who feel that there is a mite called Demodex that is found in everyone's skin. Some people feel that plays a large role in rosacea. Now, antibiotics won't kill it, but most dermatologists think that the drugs we use for acne, rosacea, say tetracycline, probably does more through the anti-inflammatory intrinsic properties of the drug than actually killing propionibacterium. That's the theory. I don't know if it's reality, but that's what we think.
So there actually might be microscopic mite infestation with this.
That's one theory.
And rosacea, what is the natural course? What age do people get it? How long does it last? And how does it affect them?
Boy, usually you don't see it commonly under 30, but over 30 and up, it if you develop it, it tends to be persistent. It won't necessarily worsen, but it tends to be stubborn. Who gets it is quite a variety, I'm afraid.
Is there more propensity in women than men?
Statistically, women are more likely to develop rosacea, but men who develop it have it more severely in terms of the large nose and things of that nature.
And does this go into the postmenopausal or later years too?
It may, yes. There isn't the pyramid of decreasing frequency of rosacea that there is with acne.
We have just 11 minutes left in today's program, and if you'd like to get your pledge of support in for WBOY, we would love to hear from you. If we could just hear from two more people during this hour of Midday Matters, 1-800-471-9264 is the number to call, or go online to nipr.fm. If just you listening at home and one other person calls us right now, we'll be able to make it to that goal. And what a great way to start off our afternoon here halfway through our spring fund drive. 1-800-471-9264 or online to nipr.fm to pledge your support right now to WBOY and to support local programs like Midday Matters. We talked a little bit about scarring and acne and how some of those treatments, especially if they involve a laser, are kind of pricey. And a lot of folks can't have to kind of learn to live with it, I imagine, some of the scars. Is there anything that they can do at home or anything they can buy over the counter to probably more slowly lessen the blow of the scars that they've accumulated from acne over the years?
There isn't, unfortunately, much you can do at home with true scarring, meaning a change in the skin contour. There is a product over the counter called Mederma. It's an onion extract. There are no published scientific studies, but I think it's a harmless drug. I'm just not confident that it does much.
Mm-hmm. And you will, okay, the patients that have the deep scarring, and this is collagen laying down, and what does the laser, they come in, what do you do, how do you treat it, and how long does this treatment last, and what are the results?
With acne scarring, there tends to be two types. One we call the ice pick scar, which is a narrow diameter but deep scar. There's also more of a rolling, gentle undulation of the surface, kind of like the surface of the moon. Ice pick scars don't respond well to laser. Those individually need to be cut out and stitched. Whereas the rolling or more superficial acne, what the laser can do is it's called resurfacing. In other words, it will essentially vaporize some of the irregularities, trying to get a more flat surface. So if you were to undergo that procedure, you definitely have some redness and some crusting. So it's very visible that something was done, but a face will heal pretty quickly. So you might have, depending on how deeply you're treated, maybe a week of downtime. The results do tend to be long lasting.
And there is another technique called dermabrasion. Do you do this much, and what are the uses and consequences of that?
Dermabrasion is a physical sanding, if you will, of the acne scars. We don't do it as a group. It is an acceptable procedure. We just choose not to do it. Results are long-lasting. There can be some discoloration. It is more drastic than the laser in terms of depth of penetration and downtime. But in more severe cases, it is useful.
We have just about 8 minutes left in today's program here on Health 360 Midday Matters, and we need to take a short break. But in the meantime, while you're listening, you can definitely pledge at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm. Still need to hear from two more people to make our goal of hearing from six people and $600 a reality this hour of Midday Matters. Please do call 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm and thanks.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear the questions you wish you could have asked to people like Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Did it help to hear what your voice sounded like on helium? Did you learn something about your voice you didn't know before?
Yeah, I learned that I don't really need the helium.
Because it's pretty easy to flick that switch and go right up there.
The most interesting people in show business on Fresh Air. This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
At All Things Considered, we don't just bring you the day's news. We interview actors, musicians, and artists of all stripes and take the time to understand what really drives them. We learn the story behind the story to get at the deeper truths that connect us all. I'm Audie Cornish. Stop by for your daily dose of discovery every afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Welcome back to Midday Matters Health 360 here on WBOI 89.1 FM. It's 12:55. We have 5 minutes left to hear from two more people to make our goal a reality this hour of Midday Matters. If you haven't given yet during our spring fund drive here at WBOI, we would love to hear from you. If you've never given before, now's the time to hop over and join the WBOI community by giving us a call at 1-800-471-9264 or go online to nipr.fm right now. Less than 5 minutes to do it and to help us stay on track for our goals during this spring fund drive. We are wrapping up our conversation with Dr. Sarkissian, who is a dermatologist here in Fort Wayne, and we've been talking about acne. Just a couple more minutes to get your questions in if you have any.
Dr. Sarkissian, when should a parent intervene and urge their child to go further with medical care for their acne?
I guess in my opinion, the permanent outcome of acne that I would like to avoid is scarring. So if I had a child with inflammatory acne with even early scarring, even if they weren't motivated, I would probably take the role of their frontal lobe and say, you need to do this, you need to be treated. If they're not motivated, it's much more difficult. Let's say if they don't have scarring, I would, as a parent, probably lean more toward, we'll wait and see. Once you start developing interest in the opposite sex, you may get motivated.
And I think if the parent is sensing that the child is withdrawing socially because of the acne, this would be an important reason to get going. But
yes,
it's your impression that the earlier they see you and your colleagues, the less eventual scarring will take place. True?
Yes, especially if they have inflammatory acne.
We have just about 3 minutes left in today's program, and thank you so much, Dr. Sarkissian, for being a part of today's show. How can folks get a hold of you and your practice to see you if they have any acne problems?
Well, we have three offices, one north on DuPont, one at Carnegie on Illinois Road, and one on Liberty Mills at Falls Drive. Office phone is 260-436-8000.
Great. Thank you so much for being a part of Health 360. Peter, I want to ask you, with less than 3 minutes left in today's program, why do you personally think people should call right now and join the WBOI family and pledge their support?
Because we spend, as pointed out earlier today, people spend hours listening to TV, and here is radio, and we have this available. It is inexpensive. It's there. The great majority of people who listen to radio don't pay for it, but learn so much. And if you value the information you get, if you value learning, if you're valuing being a part of the world community, this is the place to go. I used to think the term driveway moment was a bit of a cliche until I found myself unable to get out of the car listening to a great NPR story on Morning Edition or All Things Considered, because it was just so captivating and fascinating. And I think if you have an open mind, if you're willing to learn, the statement has been made, an intelligent person is he who knows what he does not know, and you will learn daily listening to this station. The other point that should be made too is we have two stations here, and we have our WBOI with news and jazz. But if you're in the mood for classical music, just go to 94.1 and listen to WBNI Classical too. So you really have a great variety of listening choices provided by this station, which I think is an absolute gem and absolute gift to Northeast Indiana.
We are very lucky to have our sister station, WBNI. Less and less stations are being able to have those two towers and to provide classical music. So if you'd like to show your support for WBOI and WBNI, we need to hear from you right now at 1-800-471-9264 or online at nipr.fm. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 in HD Channel 1, and we're streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University, and both are supported by listeners like you. Thank you very much. The number one last time to pledge your support during the last 30 seconds of Midday Matters, it's 1-800-471-9264, and you can always go online to nipr.fm. Thanks very much for pledging your support to WBOY during our Spring Fun Drive. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.